Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Meta, a podcast about podcasts. My name is Peter Wells. Ursula, tell me about the podcast. Let's just jump right in. What is the inspiration and why podcasting?
Well, during all those weeks that I spent in lockdown, I did all these little documentaries that I would put out to people, and the amount of people who got in touch and that watched the little documentaries and just gone, and it was all of them were just little 2-minute clips of things that were shitting me that day. That mm-hmm. I thought other people were going to do the same thing because we couldn't gig, we couldn't connect with people, you know, like on the outside, if you will. And I had, apart from the 7 weeks that New Zealand was in level 4 lockdown where we couldn't leave our homes, I also spent 11 weeks in either government isolation or in a, you know, like I was either at a facility or stuck in an apartment where I weren't allowed to leave. Mm-hmm. So, and then I would send out these little clips every single day just to sort of, you know, connect with people and go, we're all in, you know, going through the same thing. And the amount of feedback that people go, that, you know, this is a thing that's helping me get through this, or this is, I can relate to this and I look forward to this. And people would start sending me stuff that they were going through with their kids or with their spouse or with their colleagues on Zoom or, you know. And I just thought, shit, I'm going to do a podcast when this is all over, because, of course, I can't do the little clips every single day once I'm back at work, you know, because then I've got shit to do and the kids are going to school. And so I decided I'm going to do a podcast where I talk to friends and colleagues and, you know, people I admire about stuff that shits them that we can all relate to. Then we go, yeah, me too. You know, because at the end of the day, that's our shared experience. It's like, it's not the things we love, it's the things that shit us, that bring us closer together, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when you spent that time in lockdown,
yeah.
Tell me, first of all, about the experience of lockdown, the government run. So were you in a hotel and where were you?
Yeah, well, my first 2 weeks in quarantine was in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty intense. Like, they transport you 4 at a time on a bus to the hotel, and the military check you in, and a military dude brings all your bags to the room, puts you in the room and go, now don't open the door. You don't even get a key to the door. It's very, you know, you're like, oh shit, I am truly trapped here. Like, your brain goes, yeah, I'm in quarantine, of course, you know, I can handle it. But once you're there, you're like, oh shit, I literally cannot leave this room. And so that was kind of the first couple of days. I was, I guess, what you would go through if you're in prison, you know. It really changed my whole perception on, you know, like, I used to work for the newspaper too, and then you hear people, or, you know, you put stories out of people getting house arrest, and you're like, oh, nice one, a criminal gets to sit on their ass at home. But now I have a whole new appreciation for house arrest. I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna be tough. that was a bit rough. And then but that's when I decided I'm gonna share the experience, because it was full on, but it wasn't the worst thing that I'd gone through. And I got my first COVID test in quarantine. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't had one, and I was expecting the absolute worst, because you know, this is
you hear about the brain poke and
yeah. And I was like, oh my god, this is going to be so painful. And it wasn't that bad at all. And since then I've had 14 COVID tests total.
So far. Well, that's great, because friends of mine always tease me as being addicted to the pokes, because I was like the first in our group to get them, and I've only had 2.
But they god. If but, join your circle of friends, that'll blow their minds.
Exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I used to really, you know, sort of, I would wait when people go, like, you would go, yeah, so I've had 2, and all your friends would go, whoa, calm down, poke freak, you know, and then and then I'd sort of wait and I go, 2, did you say 2? Because I've had 14. You know, like, that would be my mic drop moment. And then I was on the project one night and I interviewed Sam Neill, and he had 54, I think, at that stage.
Wow.
I was like, okay, dude, you can, of course, not be trusted around a cotton bud anymore. I think if he sees an earbud in the house, he just slams it down his own nose. So,
which is fair enough.
Yeah.
It is quite addictive. But I'm fascinated, like, what are you allowed to do when you're in that hotel quarantine? Are you allowed to, like, just say, first of all, is the mini bar open?
No. There's no mini bar. There's no room service. You get provided your meals. And what they do, they come up and they'll say to you too, like when the army dude checked me in the room, he said, you'll hear a knock, count to five, and then open the door. So you give the person a chance to get away. So they just dump your bag with your food in, and you get, you know, 3 squares a day, and that's it. And then the nurse comes. You get a call. You get heaps of calls. Like, I got so many calls the first 3 days, and then they kept going, is there anything you need to know? And I, on the 3rd day, after getting calls hourly, I just said, when will these calls stop? This is insane. And they go, oh, okay, is this too much for you? I go, yeah, I think this will be too much for a needy person. This is insane. I can't even have a coffee or a shower or anything, because then the phone's going to ring, and if you don't answer, they assume you've, you know, broken out of your room.
Wow.
Well, broken out, / opened the door and walked out. Because there was one day, because they say count to 5. So on my 10th or 11th day there, there was a loud bang on the door. So you kind of get used to the food knock, you know. You sort of, they train, your brain is real trained for the food thing. And then you sit there like a puppy. 1, 2, 3, you know. And then I got a loud bang on the door. So I started counting. And when I got to 3, they banged again. And I was like, okay, I'll start again. 1. And then they knocked again. And so then someone yelled, open the door. So I went and opened the door, but you have to wear a mask when you open it. So it took me a bit longer, because then I had to find my mask, because I'm not used to it. I haven't seen anyone for like 10 days. So I opened the door and somebody had gotten out of their room and they were looking for him. And they go, is there anyone in the room with you? I went, no. And, you know, it's not hard to search. There's just a room. And then they were like, oh, okay. So, but they found the person. They were just wandering up and down the hallway or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so did you get time to, like, to pop outside and get some exercise? Or?
No. Sydney, there's no, you can't leave the room at all. Like, you're there for 14 days, no leaving the room at all. So
did you at least have a view?
No, there's no view and there was no sunshine.
Oh, God.
You know what? It has totally changed my view. How even, because then from Sydney, I went to Melbourne, and I arrived in Melbourne as Melbourne went into level 4 lockdown. Right.
Yep.
And before, whenever I go for a job anywhere, my manager or, you know, someone will send me a list of Airbnbs that I can stay at that's close to wherever I'm filming. And I don't even open the link. I just go, whatever. As long as it's clean and it's close, you know, I'm happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even look at the accommodation. So I got this place and it was convenient. And so obviously when I picked it was close to the golf course and close to the studio. And then, of course, there was no golf. So I just took my golf clubs on a trip to Australia. But there was also no sunshine in the apartment. And it looked into a car park. So there was no sunshine at all. Not even for 2 minutes a day could you get a slither of sunshine. There was nothing.
Oh, wow. So when you transition from the very locked down, very rigid hotel quarantine into Melbourne's stage 4.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm based in Melbourne. And so I feel like I'm still suffering from some kind of post-traumatic stress from the lockdown. And I keep thinking these days, like, how the fuck is anyone in America sane? Because,
well, but to be fair, they weren't sane going in.
That's true.
And yeah. I think that really helps.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're a bit of a loose unit going into it, this may have just straightened you out. It's like I watched a movie years ago where they tied this guy up in one of those things that stretch you out, you know, that they use in the olden days where mm-hmm. they put you on this wooden table and sort of stretches you longer. And the whole movie before that, he talked about his bad back. And then when he got off that, he goes, oh, actually, that fixed my back. So I think that's how it's going to work. The pandemic is that table. And for some people, it'll fix them. And for other people, it's going to fuck you up solid.
Well, I guess I'm in your fuck you up solid camp then. What about you? Who are you?
I think for me personally, there's been a lot more positives in this than negatives. Like, it's shit that the whole world had to shut down and it's, you know, not great that, you know, I mean, I lost basically 95% of my income, but I got to spend a shit ton of time with my kids. I've never spent this amount of time in New Zealand. I spent my first Easter in New Zealand last year since I moved here in 2006. Like, that's mind-blowing. So I had a lot of great time. I think a lot of companies realize people can just work from home. You don't need to force them to come into the office. Mm-hmm. So I think the way we work, the way we deal with each other, all of that stuff is going to change and has changed.
Yeah, but there seems to be some kind of, you know, snapback these days of companies wanting their workers to come back, even though they're more productive at home. Yeah. I mean, how do you explain to someone that who is demanding that you come back to the office that, no, fuck it, I've spent a year getting shit done and, you know.
Yeah, well, I think, and this is what I like, even if we work on a TV show, if the majority of us on the show feel like we should go a different direction and two of the producers feel we shouldn't, the engine is bigger than the bonnet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so the engine just needs to go, we're not doing it. If everyone at the office go, no, this is bullshit, Gary, we're not going to do it, then Gary can't do shit. You know
fuck
what I mean?
Gary.
This is where we need to stand together and voice our thing. You know, like, I think that's the thing. We're so used to just taking stuff, you know, like people, the boss wants me to come back to work, so I guess I'm back at work. Just go, I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, and if everyone does it, they're not getting rid of the entire office. Then they'll have to rethink. I think, you know, if this pandemic has taught us anything, better communication is what's needed here.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I remember like the first couple of days before Melbourne went into lockdown, I was still working at a university at the time. And I walked outside at lunchtime when like all of the students were moving between classes. And I took this photo and it's just like places are shutting down all over the world. And this campus is just packed with students as far as the eye can see. And I took a photo of it and went back to my desk and sent it to my boss and said, fuck this, I'm not coming tomorrow. And it was like 4 days later, the university was locked down and he was saying, look, no, you can't, like, you've got to keep coming in until we officially lock down. I was like, fuck that. You don't pay me enough.
Tell me how many bosses you've had that you haven't at some point thought, fuck, what a nightmare. You know, like, I think that about most people.
I'm 43 and I can say I've liked one of my bosses.
Well, there we go. I rest my case. Like, I don't think you're supposed to like your boss. You're supposed to like your mates, you know. It's like my mum, when we were growing up, she'd go, I'm not your friend, I'm your mother. Well, that's your boss. It ain't your friend, it's your boss.
Yeah, right.
You know what? And I have to say, like, every email, like, because I do, you know, some TV stuff on this side, and on all of them, every email they say, remember, if you don't feel comfortable coming in, that's fine. We will, you know, like, you don't get punished for it, because there are people who go, I'm still not comfortable coming in. And, like, we have people either Zooming in or into a TV show, for crying out loud. Or, you know, production people just working from home going, I'm still not comfortable. And, you know, like, our pandemic, the way they've treated it is real successful. Like, you know, your chances of getting it is slim. But some people are still not comfortable. And I think what's great here is that they have acknowledged that and said people are going to struggle. You know, this is our world war. This is our big thing that we're going to tell our grandkids about.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and I think they are respecting it here and saying, look, if you're not comfortable, don't. We can make a plan. We'll work around it. And they have so far, which is
that's great. Really amazing. So that's TV in Auckland.
Yeah. But not just in my work. Like, even my brother occasionally goes, oh, I'm working from home today, which his job doesn't really, he's a security advisor. So he's pretty hands-on, you know, but he still works from home. You know, so on some days where he goes, yeah, I'm not going in today because there's too many people out on the job or whatever. And it's great. It, like, they accommodate for that.
Yeah. And as a New Zealander, looking at the way Australia has dealt with the pandemic, what is your view as an outsider? Because I've spoken to a lot of Americans who, over the last year, who have been obviously really envious of the way we dealt with the pandemic. But I feel that New Zealand has one extra gold star than we do. You've had none of the infighting, at least from what I've seen, that we've had in terms of like premiers kind of sniping each other and
We've got exactly that. Like there's still that. And even today we've had some people going, there was a government report release on Friday when we had all those tsunami warnings. And then the leader of the opposition is like, why did you release it on the Friday? Now no one saw it. And then the minister goes, well, I didn't send the tsunami. You know, like, no, there's heaps of infighting, but, you know, it's like you don't know what's going on in someone else's house unless you live there. Yeah, so when I look at Australia, it looks like, oh, yeah, you guys are nailing it too. But the same, you look at us and you go, we're nailing it, but you don't know how they're bickering. How mom and dad are fighting in the car the whole time, but we're just looking happy at the party. But I think overall, you know, New Zealand and Australia, both of them, sort of doing really well, considering if you look at the lives lost in other countries. Even I look at South Africa and I'm like, holy shit, you know, this thing could have ripped like wildfire through both of these countries. And you know,
what do you put it down to? I mean, because, you know, it's not just the laws and the rules that were put in place, because, you know, people could have decided not to follow them, whereas in, you know, at least in my experience, you know, Melbourne took this shit extra seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it were like Dan didn't have to do, like, people always look at it like Dictator Dan, you know, locking us all down.
That's,
but it was
annoying.
Like, no, we locked ourselves down. Like we listened and went, yeah, fuck, all right. Yeah. Let's do that.
See, that's what people don't realize, that whether you like your government or not, you trust them. That's why it worked, because even here, people go, I'm not a Labor voter, but I stayed home. And go, yeah, because you trust your government. You trust that they say we're all doing it for, you know, not only our benefit, but our community's benefit. And that's, so we stayed at home. Then you look at countries like South Africa where people don't trust their government. They didn't stay home. And there's so many people infected over there, and that's why they get this wicked new wave and, you know, like, it's just going.
New variants and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's just going nuts. But because people don't listen to the government. And if you read any of the comments in the paper, you know, because I do that, that come from there, then people are always saying the government's just doing this because they want to steal money and they want to. I'm like, this is a global pandemic. This is not just the ANC running this, you know, flu. Because that's basically how they're putting it. And I'm like, but so when you look at countries that are doing well, Germany, all those, you go, even if they don't like their governments and if they didn't necessarily wouldn't vote them in again, they all trust them. And this is why they're staying at home.
Yeah, right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's talk about the show a bit more because we haven't really.
Oh, yeah. No, this is more for us now.
Yeah, I know. It's become a bit of a therapy session.
Yeah.
So tell me some of the guests you've had on so far.
Okay, so the first one out was Russell Howard, and he was amazing. I'd never spoken to him before, but I love his work. So when I chatted to him, we had so much fun. We just clicked immediately. The next week, him and I did another job together just because we loved it so much, and I went and saw his show. He's such a funny dude. So I had him on, and then Rhys Darby, who he was like my first famous comedian that I met. And he's such a nice, supportive, warm dude when you meet him. Like there's nothing from, like I met him, I think, at my second gig, and already he was just really supportive.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, just, you know, you want to meet those people in your career where you go, fuck, man, I know if I need to, I can call you and you give me great advice. Just the fact that I'd have his number, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And I spoke to one of the eps. I did Danny Minogue and Jackie O together, because when we met on The Masked Singer, and I said, I don't know if it's like Stockholm syndrome, because even when I went to Melbourne and we were level four, and we could go out, but I wasn't allowed to go out because we had to stay in a bubble for The Masked Singer. So I couldn't see other people. I couldn't talk to other people because we had to protect our bubble. So it was only us. I only saw Danny, Jackie, Dave, and Osha. That was my bubble and my makeup lady. But I never even saw the makeup lady without a mask and a shield. So it was really weird. But then we just clicked so hard. And even now we still watch Zoom television shows together. And, you know, we're on a WhatsApp group and we chat nearly every day. So I thought I'll take the ladies and we'll have a bit of a yarn. So that was a lot of fun. I had Ronnie Cheng on, another one where when I started doing comedy, we sort of started at the same time. Mm-hmm. And he's just, yeah, real legend, real down-to-earth guy that's obviously nailing it, you know, internationally. But he's got strong opinions on Australian television, New Zealand television, or, you know, like, and what we should be seeing, what we're not seeing. And it, like he says, he goes, I'm not standing up against these television guys in Australia for my career. He goes, I don't need it. He goes, but it's for the little guys coming through that need to get that break. He goes, and that's the thing. Once you sort of move up a bit in your career, if you don't speak up, it's like I say, the engine is bigger than the bonnet. You need to, you know, put the word out and lay strong foundations, not just for yourself, but for other people coming in after you, you know. So it's just such a treat to talk to him. Julia Morris, who I've been friends with for years, Nazim Hussain, same thing. We actually, during the lockdown, did a thing, who's Zooming who, because we would Zoom each other and have like dinner together and just chat and stuff. And then we decided to start recording our chats and we put it out on Instagram. It was literally just the three of us talking shit in our pajamas. but we thought we did it once a week for recording, but we checked in with each other because we're really close. And especially Nazim and I travel together a lot, you know, we tour together. So we would just check in as mates, and then we thought we'll set it out. We'll let other people have a look at what we're talking about and see if anyone can relate or, you know, find a laugh in there for themselves. And it was, it became sort of a big thing, actually. So we did that. So I did a couple of episodes with them. Yeah, just like literally anyone that I like, admire, or, you know, so I'll have a chat with them.
Do you feel that over the course of the lockdown, you became a bit more of a, you know, expert in digital media and producing your own stuff? Like, have you felt that you understand the medium a little bit more now that you've been, you kind of were forced into that those moments of like figuring out? Well, I mean, it doesn't sound like, you know, you specifically thought, hey, let's have an Instagram story. Let's take over that platform. It felt like it sounds like it was more of a natural thing that just kind of
happened to me. It happened to me. It's the same as like before quarantine started. I didn't know about TikTok or anything like it, and then I joined TikTok and boom, I had like 50,000 followers. Of course, now that we're out of lockdown, I haven't posted in ages, so now I've turned my back on it. I'm like, see you TikTok. But not just that, like, because I had to all of a sudden set up a studio at my house. Like, I had put soundproofing in my dining room and I had all these ring lights and I had to build this little stand, of books for my laptop to sit on, so it's at the premium height and light setting for recording television shows on my laptop that I could then save into external hard drives that I could then get my nephews and the police to go drop off at the TV station, you know, like it was just this whole, and even the grand finale of The Masked Singer, I recorded that via like a Zoom type scenario, a different program, but same setup in a hotel quarantine in Auckland. I was in Auckland and I had to borrow a green screen that someone had to go drop off at the army guy at the gate. And then I had to set up all the lights, the soundproofing and everything. And I recorded the last episode in my hotel room and I had to do my own hair, makeup, tech stuff, the whole thing. And then, of course, because of the time difference, and we filmed really late because there's some tech issues, because two people, Osha and Jackie, was in Sydney, and Dave and Danny was in Melbourne, and I was in Auckland. So you can imagine the fuck up around that. So it's like 4 o'clock in the morning for me, 2 o'clock in Australia. And we get to the finale, and now we have to get the masks off, and I'm in a hotel room in quarantine with headphones, and no one can hear that I'm talking to other people, screaming at the top of my lungs, "Take it off! Take it off!" And then I'm about six or seven take it offs in, and then there's just banging on my door, and it's the army. This army guy, I was like, oh, shit. And I just hear the producer, "You're all right?" I go, while we're doing this. So there's the unveil. You know, we're screaming, "Take it off." And before the mask can even come off, we still don't know who it is. The producer just has to stop everything. He goes, "You're all right? What's going on?" I go, "There's an army guy at my door. I have to go." So I open the door, and I'm in the sequence top with pajama bottoms, hair and makeup fully done. And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "What's happening? Are you okay? What's going on inside there?" I go, "I'm doing a TV show." And I had to explain it to him. And he's like, "Okay." I nearly got tased in the asshole that night. Oh, my God. So, yeah, I mean, tech-wise, I feel like I can go work on any side of the television screens now.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And were there any shows that you saw over the last year that you thought, or any comedians that really adapted much better than you expected? Like, I've found it really fascinating to watch how the late night shows have kind of evolved in the last year. Is there anything that's really caught your eye?
No. I looked at all of that and I'm like, I mean, good on you for still going, but nah. I mean, I think a lot of them should have just sort of, you know, put a pause on it till at the end of this, mainly because I don't, and it's the same as comedians in America who's still touring. I'm like, why would you even risk it? And most of them have now got COVID or, you know, is recovering from COVID. So I think valiant effort to carry on with the show. It's all fine and well, but they don't really need it financially. So I don't understand why they're putting people through it.
Yeah.
And putting their staff at risk. Because it's the same, like, you know, say the Ellen show that went back into studio. It's like all of those people have been working there for years. She can afford to just keep paying them their salaries or make sure that there's a backup plan for them. Mm. But I don't understand why they need to be put at risk.
I just really am fascinated by how you kind of put this stuff together.
No, well, I was thinking about a podcast, and then even 2 years ago, Spotify contacted me and said, "Do you want to do a podcast?" I went, "No, I'm not ready for it," because I was so super busy. Like, a few companies have approached me over the years and I've gone, "Nah, not yet. And now, because I had a whole year off, so yeah, when Acast came to me and said, because I think the offer was on the table for a while already, then actually now I've got time. Let's do it. Let's revisit.
Well, I did speak to Nazim about 6 months ago, and he said that your episode was the funniest thing he's done during lockdown. So there you go.
He's a good boy, you see. Yeah, he has to say that, or otherwise I'll talk to his mum. Then he'll get a deep shit.
He does seem very terrified of his mum for an adult man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, mate. If you've met his mum, you'll understand. You'll be terrified of his mum too. She's lovely, but she won't take any shit. You better believe it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably how he ended up successful. Behind every successful person is a very good mum.
Yeah, 100%, I reckon. My mom's visiting at the moment, so I will say that.
Thank you so much for your time. That was really, really fun.
No worries. Thanks for the chat. I will release us, seeing as how I am the host of this podcast. Oh, I mean, it literally changes nothing, but I do like to be in charge.
I can tell.
All right, Peter, have a good one. Look after yourself.
You too. See ya.
Bye.